Well, hello and welcome to The Profit Express. I'm Tim Healy, and I'm inviting you to join me each and every Wednesday so you can be prepared to win the battle for business. That's right. Now listen, I know you're out there. You're closing deals. You're making money. You're turning prospects into profits, so I've got to make it worth your while. That's why I have on the kinds of guests that you can listen, learn, and earn from. Today's guest is no exception. So hey, thanks for sharing some of your time with me today. Thanks for being on board The Profit Express. And as always, a special thanks to our sponsor, Corbett Public Relations, where they've been promoting and protecting businesses and brands for over 30 years. So visit Bill and his team at CorbettPR.com. That's CorbettPR.com. So welcome aboard, everybody. Now, one thing that I've noticed is that the people who win the battle for life, the people that win the battle for sports, and the people that win the battle for business are the kinds of people who are willing to work harder. They're willing to dig deeper. They're the kinds of people who are willing to be comfortable being uncomfortable, and they're the kinds of people who are willing to do what others are not. Those are the kinds of people that win the battle for life, sports, and business. Now, as an entrepreneur, as a sales pro, as a small business owner, you know it and I know it. We all rely on sports analogies, sports stories. Because let's face it, we're in our own competition each and every day. We win or lose. And we're measured on that on a daily basis. And that's why I'm very excited to have on today's guest. He's Reed Nunley. And by day, he's an attorney with Butler Snow in Jackson, Mississippi. But we're not having him on to talk about his life as an attorney. We're here to have him talk about his life as an ultra marathon runner. Now, I know many of you listening are like, ultra marathon runner, ultra race, what is this? The ultra race community, the ultra marathon community, is actually a very niche community, and it's a very niche sport. Very simply, an ultra marathon is any race that's longer than your typical average marathon, which is 26.2 miles. And an ultra marathon starts off typically at a 50K, which is 31 miles. And they're very typically 100 miles, 200 miles plus. And these single event races can take 6 hours, 8 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours, or multiple days. Yes, that's right. So think about this. Competing and completing. Just completing an ultra marathon, an ultra endurance race of 31 miles, of 50 miles, 100 miles plus, is to me an extraordinary event. It's an extraordinary accomplishment. And I've been following the community. Now, I'm not one myself. The furthest I've ever gone is a half marathon, which knocked me out for a couple of days. But the ultra endurance race, to me, is a very special event. Because unlike any other sports, in my opinion, it tests your mental fortitude. It tests your mindset more than any other sporting event. And now let's bring this back to business. Because at the end of the day, when we're looking to win the battle for business, think about this. What is tested more than anything else? It's our mental toughness. So who better to learn some great examples and lessons and stories from than an ultra-endurance runner? So it's a pleasure to have on board the Profit Express, Reed Nunley. Reed, how are you today?
Tim, I'm doing great. I appreciate the opportunity to be here and looking forward to talking with you. Thank you for having me.
Well, listen, it's a pleasure. Thank you for sharing some of your time today. And listen, let's just jump right into it. Here's my first question that I'm curious about. When did you first get the idea that it would be a smart thing to do to jump into the ultra marathon world?
Yeah, that's a really interesting and good question. I don't know that I can pinpoint a spot, although I'll tell you, I played baseball in college. Well, I was, let's use the term played loosely. I was on a baseball team in college and, and freshman, sophomore years, I was on the team. Junior year, I go out. I'm really overwhelmed with schoolwork and baseball and trying to keep my then girlfriend, now wife, happy. And so I kicked baseball to the curb and started gaining weight. Yeah, I started gaining weight and was trying to figure out something to do that, you know, would just help me stay in shape. So I started running then. And so sort of developed, you know, a real love for the sport. A few years later, a friend of mine invited me to go run in a 50K race, which, as you indicated in the introduction, is 31 miles.
Right.
And, dude, you know, I had done some road running before, 5Ks, half marathons. And, man, the whole community at this race was totally different than what I had experienced before. It's just a different set of people that I fell in love with. And, dude, after that, all bets were off. And so most of these ultra endurance races are not on the road. They're off road. So, you know, off this trail and ultra community is really where I sort of fell in love with.
So it's actually the culture and the community of people that kind of drew you into the sport.
Yes.
Wow. So now, okay. So as I said in the intro, it's any race that's like, you know, a 50K, 31 miles or greater. So give us a little bit of a sense of your ultra marathon resume. How many have you done, you know, 100 miles? How far have you gone? What's your greatest distance so far?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, my ultra running resume is not the most robust resume ever, but I've done a dozen or so ultra marathons ranging from 50K to 100 mile. I've done a couple hundred milers and everything in between. So that's sort of the extent of the resume, and have more races on the horizon and looking forward to, you know, going longer and further.
Wait, listen, Reed, I think I've picked up, and the listeners picked up on your modesty and you being humble here. You say, oh, you know, it's 100 mile. It's, you know, I've done a few. It's like, I've done 2 half marathons that almost killed me. So accomplishing 100 miler again, to me, I try to wrap my head around that. So this would be very interesting for the listener. We talk about, you know, in business and in life, you know, committing oneself to a goal. And certainly when you have a 100-mile race, I can only imagine the strategy, the training, and the goal. So take us through that, if you will. Let's say, what's your game plan and strategy for being ready for a 100-mile race?
Yeah, you know, good question, Tim, because you know, I sort of think about, and you mentioned this in the introduction, I sort of think about the spirit of the ultra runner and the spirit of the entrepreneur mapping onto one another really well, because the ultra runner is, and I know your entrepreneurial spirited listeners will understand this more than anything, the ultra runner is just a grinder, man. And so, It's just being disciplined and getting out. And sometimes it's boring, but it's sort of the ugly, you know, the photo op at the finish line is, you know, really cool. And that's sort of the mountaintop, but there's this whole kind of ugly backdrop behind that, that nobody will ever see.
Right,
It's the 3:30. It's the 3:30 AM alarm, that goes off routinely, you know, just the day in and day out grind that an ultra runner has to, you know, be accustomed to, and any entrepreneur would be accustomed to, you know, the sleep deprivation, just the constant grind that, after a while, and this is weird to say, I sort of like it, you know?
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, but in response to your question, that's what training for the ultra marathon looks like. Is it's not pretty, but it's also not overly, you know, people say, well, how in the world do you train for 100 miles? I've only ever run a half marathon. To be honest, Tim, it's not that much different. I mean, peak mileage for me might be 65 miles in a week, which is, you know, for most people, a lot of miles. But I mean,
yeah.
You're gonna run if you're training for a half marathon, half of that in a week. So sure. It's not that much. It's not that much different. It's just the consistency of training that's important.
So you said there's many 3:30 a.m. alarm bells going off. You've got to log the miles because it's an endurance race. But also, you know, you are an attorney. And I think most people can appreciate being an attorney is a demanding profession. So you got to balance that as well.
Yeah, that's certainly right. And on top of that, Tim, we have four children. And so, you know, being a good dad and a good husband and a good lawyer all sort of trump this hobby of mine. So in terms of priority, that's kind of how they fall. So, you know, if something gets cut in a day, it ends up being the run so that I can spend time with my children. You know, that's just
sure.
real life.
Now, all right, so it's a grind, and I love the word grind. I affectionately call business owners, I affectionately call sales professionals, the good ones, grinders, because they are, when I hear the word grind, it's like it to me, it's people who are willing to do what others aren't willing to do, and waking up at 3:30 in the morning to train, not a lot of people are willing to do that. So I love your term and your connection with the word grinder. Now,
well, that's it, Tim. I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on you, but willing to do what others wouldn't. I mean, you know, I think about sort of the ways the ultra runner and the entrepreneur sort of, I really feel like we're kindred spirits, because the ultra runner, the typical one, looks for races that he or she is probably going to fail at. So it's funny. I mean, you talk to people and say, well, no, I don't want to do that one. It, you know, there's not enough climbing, or, you know, it looks like it's too easy. I mean, we actively seek races that, you know, there's a good chance we won't finish, because, dude, it's just looking for those hard things and knowing, man, there's a good chance I might not finish this race. So, yeah, I mean, I forget the phrase that you use, but something along those lines, you know, doing things that other people don't want to do. Well, we seek them out on purpose, you know.
I'm not a part of the community, but just hearing you explain it, I'm starting to fall in love with it. So now, you talk about the distances, which, as people are listening, you know, 31 miles just to start off with, or 50 miles, 100 miles. Again, hard to fathom. But it's not just, because, again, I've run plenty of 5Ks, 10Ks. I've run two half marathons. But it's pavement running. You're running in streets and neighborhoods, right, for these races. But I want you to kind of take us through, because I don't know if a lot of listeners can appreciate this, Reed. Take us through the actual courses, because that's a real big difference that you will run through in a typical ultra marathon.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Tim. I mean, most ultra events are done on trail. And so you're running through state parks and national forests and, you know, what have you, on single track trail. Just did a race this summer in Bryce Canyon, Utah. So, I mean, any number of landscapes, forest and canyon lands and sort of bare desert. I mean, in terms of the course, that's sort of typical for an ultra event, but there's this element that that you don't have in road running that you do have in these courses, which is when you're running on the road, you can sort of switch your brain off because you don't have to think about where your foot's going to fall. But if you turn your brain off on a trail, I mean, you're going to hit a root or a rock, and it's not going to be pretty. So that's an extra element that, you know, that you don't get running a 5K. And it's just more fun. It's just more fun to go play in the woods.
Well, it's true. I mean, there, you know, people think, oh, how dangerous can running be? But when you're running over, you know, rocks and roots and tree stumps, lots of not so pretty things can happen.
Dude, let me tell you, let me just tell you a quick story. So I signed up for a race last summer in Ouray, Colorado. This was a 100-mile race in the San Juan Mountains. And the race director said before the race started, he said, now, look, you might run into a bear. Here's what you do if you run into a bear. You might run into a wolf. Here's what you do if you run into a wolf. You might run into a cougar. Here's what you do if you run into a cougar. And I said, look, the chances of a fatal encounter with these animals are pretty minimal. But there is one thing that you really need to be serious about in terms of being safe, and that is thunderstorms. Because he said, if you get up above tree line in some of these exposed areas and a thunderstorm rolls in, which they do frequently,
sure,
and on you know, the turn of a dime, he said, that'll get you. So and that happened, Tim. So we're going up above this exposed section of a course, and man, the thunderstorm rolls in and there is lightning like crashing right beside you. It's terrifying, dude. It's horrifying. Whoa. So yes. So you bomb back down the mountain and get under the trees and seek cover and hope you live to see another day.
Wait, so that this is interesting because I had done some hiking. So again, it's to the mindset of what you're putting yourself through. So for people who are unfamiliar, when you say above the tree line, you have to be, what is that, like 5,000-6,000 feet up elevation gain?
Yeah. And in this case, I mean, this race got up to about 13,000 feet. So, that particular section of the course is about 11,000 feet up in the air. So, I mean, dude, you're in the lightning, like, you know, you're in the cloud.
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so that particular race, we didn't finish. I mean, only about a third of the participants even finished that race. So we got caught in that thunderstorm and ultimately just had to bail.
Right. So then, you have the possibility or having to be aware of bears, wolves, and cougars and lightning bolts, and then don't trip on a tree stump.
Yeah.
So, and it's funny because now that you're saying this, because I've run a number of, like I said, the 5 and 10 Ks that run through neighborhoods, and maybe you have to keep your eye out for a pothole or maybe a curb, but that's the extent of it. So now what I'd love to get from your experience, Reed, is take us to, now that you have quite a number of these ultra marathons under your belt, take us to your toughest one, your most grueling one, and then also what made it so challenging for you?
Yeah, well, it is kind of funny. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, my kids are very similar in a lot of ways and very different in others. And so each race sort of has its own personality. And there's not any one particular race that is the hardest. They're sort of each hard for various reasons. But you're right, Tim. I mean, in each of the races, there are low spots. I mean, there's always low spots, whether it's, you know, because I'm in a full body cramp or having GI issues or because I lost my water bottle or whatever. I mean, there's always going to be low spots. And so in any race of that distance, that's just going to happen. And it's sort of known in the community that,
yeah.
That when you toe the line, that's going to happen, dude. I mean, you know full well you're walking straight into a bad situation. Everybody is cognizant of the fact that it never always gets worse, if that makes sense. I mean, there are some very, very low very low, like existentially low lows when you're questioning life and everything. And but those are superseded, you know, within a matter of 20 minutes by some of the highest highs. You know, when you look out over a mountain landscape and the sun's coming up and the birds are chirping, dude, I mean, it's for me as a Christian, it's just a moment of just worship where I say, thank you, God, for letting me be out here.
Yep.
But, you know, 30 minutes ago, I was questioning everything, you know. So I don't even remember what the question was, but
what was your toughest race and what made it the toughest race? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, I don't know that I have a toughest race. Every race has very low lows.
Right.
And most of them are just because, you know, another thing, and I failed to mention this in the prior question, but I mean, the elevation gain and loss in these race attempts is ridiculous. I mean, we have a local marathon, which many people sort of bemoan as having too much climbing. And so the total elevation change in that race is about 2,000 feet, which is somewhat significant for a marathon. Sure. The race I did in Colorado had about 82,000 feet of elevation change. So these races, you're going up and down these mountains, and it's just grueling, man. It's just grueling.
So, well, first of all, you said something that I have to go back to. You said it a few moments ago. You know, you have all these, you know, super, super lows, and you mentioned a full body cramp. What is a full body cramp?
Yeah, that happened to me. This was not a race, but some friends and I went to the Grand Canyon several years ago. And if you've been to the Grand Canyon, there's only two trails that go down the south rim and one trail that goes up the north rim. And so we had the idea that we would go down to the Colorado River, go up to the north rim, and then come back. And all in all, it's probably about 45 miles or so.
Right.
And so, dude, that climb back up the south rim, that's where I had a full body cramp. And that's no joke. I mean, every muscle that I knew I had was cramping. And fortunately, I had a friend with me because, I mean, you know, you're only 3 feet from like tumbling off the side of the trail there, which would be bad. It's about a mile down. So my friend helped keep me on the trail and stretched me out, and I was good to go. It just took a little water and salt.
So here's something that I find interesting. And now if we really focus back on, you know, digging deep. So you mentioned it. I think you did a really eloquent job of describing how you can go from these really, really horrific lows, and 20 minutes later, you are enjoying this magnificent mountainscape, and you also kind of had some, like, it's like a spiritual moment for you. And so here's the question: when you're doing a 100-mile race, which again, for the listener, I know there's different times for different competitors, takes you roughly how long? How long does it take you to do a 100-mile race?
Yeah, anywhere between, you know, 28 to 32 hours or so. I mean, largely dependent on the terrain, but that's probably an estimate. Yeah.
Okay, so it's a 30-hour race. So you're going through morning, afternoon, and night, obviously, and lows and highs. So then, what happens when you're at one of those lows that you're like, I have to imagine thoughts of quitting come into your mind, right?
Yes, of course. I mean, you wouldn't be human if you didn't have that, you know, emotion. And sometimes, Tim, it's just overwhelming, that feeling to quit. But the thing that I think about is really a couple things. One is, I know from experience that it gets better. It's not going to continue to decline. Like, I'm going to feel better. Just give me 30 minutes and I'll feel better. But the other thing too is just sort of this kind of Jedi mind trick where it's easy in that moment to feel overwhelmed with sort of just pain and exhaustion and just internalize that and say, I've got to quit. But the Jedi mind trick is to say, you know what? I mean, I'm experiencing all this pain and exhaustion. How awesome if I keep going. Like, how cool, like, who else would do that? What other crazy person would do that? Only you, Reed. And of course, that's not true. There's plenty of other people who make that decision. But in my mind, you know, that's where I go, is to say, how mentally tough are you to be in the lowest of lows and decide, and it is a decision to decide, I want to keep feeling the pain and push through it.
So you know it gets better, and that's part of what gets you through it. But then you said something very interesting. Let me know if I got it right. I want to keep feeling the pain?
Yeah, that's right. It's after a while, and this, I don't know, I sort of hesitate to say this because it sounds so weird, but dude, after a while, like, the pain to me is the pleasure. Like, that's the fun part. But for this reason, because that, the pain, Tim, that's like where the magic happens. Like, that's the part after the race is over, you sort of realize that the lows were the highs. You know, that's where you do some real self-reflection, and there's magic that happens in those moments. And so that's, you know, when I first started racing, you anticipate that moment in the pain cave and look for it to be just horrible. Now I kind of look forward to being there.
Wow. All business owners need to hear this story. You know, because let's face it, anybody's going after a goal, a business goal, personal goal, professional goal, whatever it is, you know, we're faced with challenges, we're faced with adversity, all of that. And it is your mindset and how you manage it that means absolutely so much. And to go to the depths that somebody like yourself, like an ultra marathoner, goes through, to me is an amazing story. An analogy for business. Again, that's why you're on today.
Can I just say to Tim, that those low spots, right? I'm experiencing those because it's a hobby for me, right? And so I'm just out there in the woods doing goofy things and whatever. But I mean, I just feel like, you know, your listeners, Tim, I mean, they're doing it because it's their livelihood, and they've actively chosen to be to risk it and are willing to fail and put themselves in those low spots on purpose. And man, there's just something to be said for that. I mean, it motivates me because, like I said, I just do this as a hobby, but for your listeners, it's real life, dude. And my hat is off to the men and women out there who do that. My dad was an entrepreneur, and his dad is. I sort of know the grind that it takes, and sort of those, you know, the sleepless nights and the really low lows that can come from that lifestyle. And dude, I just wanted to say that my hat is off to the people who are doing this in real life. Mine is just a goofy hobby.
I appreciate your modest humbleness in this goofy hobby of yours of running 100 miles. I don't know if I'd be so brave to jump into a goofy hobby like yours. So, and listen, this has been a great conversation. I'm so glad I had you on today. So here's one more question I have for you. I mean, I could keep going with you for sure. So you've been doing this, I think you said, since 2007, something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got over a decade, so you got a lot of experience to kind of call upon, right? So yeah. I would be curious to know, what has been the most important thing you have found out about yourself being an ultra marathoner?
Yeah, I mean, Tim, the thing that encouraged me to get into the sport in the first place, which I mentioned at the beginning, was the community. And ultimately, I guess after you sort of take away everything else, that's the thing that keeps me coming back. And the thing that I've learned about myself probably the most is that, dude, we just need each other. It's a community-driven sport, even though it's right. One individual who starts at the start line and finishes, 100 miles away. Mm-hmm. It takes a whole team of volunteers and a good team of race directors. And then on the course, Tim, I mean, it's not like a road race where if somebody's puking on the side of the road, you just run by. It's not that type of community. Everybody stops, checks on you. I've done it for others. They've done it for me. We're all sort of in it together because we all know we're going through some stuff. So, and everybody knows the lows that everybody else is experiencing. So for me, that's the thing I think I've taken away most from my experience racing is wow. that although it's a, Reed Nunley has a time next to his name. It's not an individual sport. It's a whole community that made that happen.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's a great perspective. 'Cause, and again, it goes back to business as well. No entrepreneur is doing it by themselves. And to have any sort of great accomplishment, it's a team. Reed, yeah. It's been a great conversation. It's a, having somebody like you on is unique because your perspective is unique. And it's just about like, hey, my job on the Profit Express is to share, different ideas, different opportunities that are out there to get people thinking differently, to approach their goals, their challenges, their hurdles differently. So to have somebody like you on today, it's been a great opportunity. I appreciate it.
Yeah, dude, I really enjoyed being here. Appreciate you having me, and good luck to you in your future endeavors and all of your listeners.
Yes, well, listen.
I will count myself among them now.
Well, thank you very much, and keep me posted. Let me know how you do on your next race. I want to follow your success as you continue on in the world of ultra marathoning, Reed. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I certainly will.
And it has been Reed Nunley, attorney by day at Butler Snow, Jackson, Mississippi. And he puts on his Superman cape as an ultramarathoner nights and weekends as he wakes up at his 3:30 a.m. training calls. And listen, it's stories like Reed that I love to share with you, the listener, as you work day in and day out trying to win the battle for business. So thank you so much for being on board today. Follow me and the show on Instagram at The Profit Express, The Profit Express page on Facebook, on Twitter at Profit_Express. And always be heads up for every Wednesday as great shows like the one I just had with Reed Nunley download. So until next Wednesday, continue to win the battle for business. It's The Profit Express.